thinking I do. All right, now I think we have it.
Your voice.
We have it now.
All right, approval of the agenda.
Who approved the agenda as printed?
I second it. I heard it.
Okay, let's be slow now, people, today, because Lori's doing minutes.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No? Okay. Nothing to add?
I'm
going
to make a motion to put the cookies right in front of you.
What's the move, right? Public comment.
We need minutes, yeah.
Oh, skipped right over the minutes, yes.
You're just trying to test me.
I move we approve the minutes.
Wait a second.
I'll second it.
Any additional help? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 2 minutes. Public comments. Do we have any public comments?
Would this go under there?
You can, yes. Day? You most certainly can mention it, absolutely.
Because we won't have a meeting before it. Our Make a Difference Day, the annual Make a Difference Day, is October 17th. For elderly, disabled, and anyone else that needs to get out and have a fun afternoon. And I hope that you people encourage, you know, anyone that's not socially getting socialization, because it's all free. We pick them up with the bus and feed them, play games, play bingo, and prizes.
It's definitely a wonderful day.
It's at the high school
and
in Lancaster.
For those that don't know, do you want to tell them a little bit about it? How many do you usually get?
We get all the way from 150 to 200 seniors, older, and it's for anyone. You know, it doesn't, no age group, no limits. It's a day for them to get out, and we do quite a bit as far as everything is donated. We beg from businesses and so forth and give it back to them in prizes and money, and they seem to enjoy it. There's a band that plays, there's music.
How many volunteers do you have besides 100 and 150?
We get from Iowa Grant, and they're bringing over a class. They bring over one of their high school classes. The instructor at Iowa Grant, I don't know his name, he brings over his students, and they are excellent with these people because they will bring them in wheelchairs. And if someone needs assistance, they'll stay with them for the afternoon. All we need to know is who has to have help, because we provide it.
Very nice. Any other public comments?
Did you got in your packets the long-term care public hearings? So I just want to mention that because those are coming up in, well, some of them, first one's already over with in Green Bay. You can participate in person or via the webcast, or you can submit written testimony, and it tells you on here how to do that. The closest one to us is Madison or La Crosse. Madison's is the 23rd, so next week, and La Crosse's is the 28th.
But what is this that we got?
This is the public service hearings that the state had said that they would hold about the changes to the family, about the proposed changes to family care and IRIS. So when they redid the budget, part of it was they needed to get input from stakeholders in long-term care before they made changes. So this is part of that process. So if you have feelings about that and how long-term care should look in the state of Wisconsin, it would behoove you to either provide some written testimony or participate.
Do we have somebody from here going? Are you planning to go?
I have not talked with Mary and Mesra. I would assume that we have some. There was a core group meeting, so I am assuming Mary will probably go. If not, I can go.
So from the Department of Health Services are the ones putting this on?
Yes. Yeah, they were the ones charged with it.
What is the one that's this 23rd of September that Danica sent me an email?
That's the Madison one. That's the long-term care in Madison.
I thought that was in Monroe.
No.
There might be some. It's something else in Monroe.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's not this one because these are the only state ones.
It sounded like it was something for, what do I want to say? If you were making out a trust fund.
Oh, okay. They may be doing something on that. Okay.
Were we going to do something on that here? Remember we had talked about that?
We have. That's kind of Marcia's area. We haven't gotten anybody at this point to do that, but we certainly can.
Well, there is a good lawyer in Madison that he has come out and presented material for families, especially families that are making out, instead of making out a will,
this is
to
the
make
one
a trust.
Danny is joining us for business. That was business
fund.
After five. That was a business after five that she sent out.
Yeah, it was.
On September 23rd.
Oh, that's the dementia-friendly one.
Right.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that, yeah.
No, so the public hearings are, you know, based on the changes to family care and IRIS, and, you know, part of that is going to insurance providers and changing that whole system. So, you know, I would suggest if you you have some comments regarding that, that you might want to submit some written testimony. I'm hoping that, you know, prior to the budget, when they had the hearings on the budget, people turned out en masse to really kind of protest what the long-term care proposals were. So I'm hoping that word's going to get out that they're going to, you know, respond to that as well. Because as you know, the plan is, you know.
Who's the person, a lawyer for trust around here? Is it here or in Madison?
Well, there is one here, but there's a very good one in Madison.
Did you want more on trust or did you want more on estate recovery?
Does that not go
together? Well, it does, but I think trusts go, if you do something on trust, that's almost in and of itself a workshop, I think, in terms of estate recovery. But yeah.
Well, your assets, and he's an excellent lawyer. Yeah. He comes out of Madison, and he's written a couple books on it. I can't tell you his name right now,
yeah,
but I can look
who you're
it
talking
up.
About.
So,
but we can look at it. In right now with Part D, I'm not sure we'll have the best time. But
yeah, that's right.
We're going to be stretched here very shortly for Part D. And I would have had Marcia come today, but she was, when I looked, she had already scheduled vacation, so she's starting to get her vacation in before Part D, so...
Okay, anything more on public comments? Anything else? Kind of burning desire in your heart? Okay, advocacy reports.
We toured the Greene County Senior Center. That was an excellent setup that they have there with their breakfast unit and how they are operating, but they're also having problems getting the numbers.
In all honesty, I have not seen any of the revitalization efforts that the state supported and granted money to be real successful yet. I have not seen anything rise to the top like, oh my God, here's the answer. So I think the state's a little frustrated and people are a little frustrated. Yeah, they've tried these breakfast programs. They've, a handful of counties did something with breakfast and nobody has really seen any tremendous results from any of it, so.
But you need to see that unit.
Oh,
it's so homey. Night and day's difference from what we have taught.
And they have it right in there with all their exercise area.
Well, they had $20,000 to...
$20,000?
To make it homey.
But it does.
If
it's
you
a
give
nice...
me $20,000, I'll make this room as homey as you'd like.
It's a nice big area,
yeah.
And...
Yeah, I'd want to go there, do you?
Well, and things, if I'm not mistaken, did I understand they're kind of an a la carte type thing?
They are.
They're,
mm-hmm.
So
they
it
are.
Isn't like $350 or $4
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
whatever. It's kind of an a la carte. You go in and choose what you like.
Yeah, because they had issues in the beginning. People wanted donuts, and it's, you know, because it's the nutrition program. We're supposed to actually follow nutritional standards, and some of the seniors were...
That's not on the
list. They
were
wanting,
no.
You know, coffee and a donut, so... Which, hey, I have nothing wrong with that. Especially if you just got done exercising, you might
as well have a donut. You go over to the exercise machine and wear it off.
Yeah, but it's like she says, they are having the volume of people they anticipated just doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's nobody's kind of hit on a magic formula for what's going to get them there. I personally, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, I personally think the whole system needs to be revamped. I think they're trying to change the color of the dinosaur, but he's still a dinosaur. I mean, it's still an old, old system based on what people were like in 1965, and it is not 1965.
No, most of your 70, 75-year-olds who could use it, because they go down to 55, don't they? So most of your 70, 75-year-olds are still pretty active.
Well, we have people.
We haven't burnt the kitchen down yet. And so.
So, Murray, how would you change it?
To me, I've been advocating for this, and I don't know whether it would make it more successful or not, but to me, I think they need to look at the voucher system and allow people to eat where they want and utilize that. I think a lot more of the younger, over 60s, back in the 60s, people just didn't go out to dinner, didn't go out to lunch like they do now. And now that's very standard. Everybody does it. And they don't really want to be associated with the older meal site or the, you know, they just don't.
Socially, they want their own friends. They want to go where they
want
to go.
They want, yeah, they want their own network. And to me, and the state's been really just kind of fighting that voucher system a little bit. And I don't know if it has to be necessarily a voucher, but I think people want that freedom of choice and where to go and, you know, when to go. They don't want to have to, you know, maybe they don't want to eat at noon every day.
Right.
So I just think they need to look at it in an entirely different way. I just think we kind of got stuck in all those anti-poverty programs in the 60s, you know.
We're in the world and can't get out of it.
And I came from Head Start, and it was the same way. And we really had to start looking at different ways to do that as well. I mean, you can't run things the way you did in the 60s, because that is a completely different era.
You know, I saw a stat this morning on TV that just really raised my eyebrows. It said one-third of kids either eat pizza or at a fast food place every day.
Well, have you seen a lot of the school meals? They're no better than fast food.
Kids don't eat.
Yeah. Well, the little ones do because they don't have any choice in elementary school. If your parents buy, you know, but
they said they always say the waste is terrible at these.
You look at our lunch menu in basketball, and it's a lot of crap.
Yeah.
And I should have said that publicly, but I just did. So it's a lot of chicken nuggets. It's a lot of high fat.
Yeah.
I thought that was all supposed to have been.
It's gotten a little better, I will say, I've had kids out of school now who didn't eat there. So it probably has gotten somewhat better. I mean, there are some schools out there that do an excellent job with it, but usually it's because they cook right at the school and they don't buy all the processed stuff.
Back in our grade school days, you had 2 bologna sandwiches and some vegetable soup and a thermos bottle. How was it?
You carried it from home.
I bet you did, yeah.
You know, part of the problem is, if this kid sees something that he doesn't like, the whole table's going to go, and they aren't going to eat it either. It gets dumped.
Well,
and I know we used to, when I was working, you had to try everything. Well, then the parents stood behind the kids, and if you made them eat a bite, they'd go home and tell it, and then we were in trouble.
The problem is both parents are working.
Yep.
The kids, there's so much going on, and it's just rush, 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 grab something on the way to go. And
kids are so overscheduled these days.
Yeah.
And let's face it, we've got all these restaurants that have sprung up based on the fact that we like that convenience. You know, that's why they're all successful.
And when you look at some of those parents, you know who their kids are, the way they are.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I eat out a couple of nights
we
a week.
All the time.
We, you know,
yeah.
I'll be out tonight. It's fiesta night tonight, so you know.
Hungry, so I go to a restaurant.
It's not because I can't cook, because I like to cook, but sometimes at the end of the day, when you know,
If I stay late here, I don't always want to go home and whip something together either. So,
yeah.
It, yeah.
Me, she'd rather taste somebody else's cooking once in a while. And not mine.
Yeah, I think it just needs to be looked at in a different light and really just, I don't know. I just think the whole thing needs to be revamped. I think they're just stuck back on what it was. And I don't disagree with the premise of it. I mean, the socialization and the nutrition, they're both high needs. But I just think it's obviously not working. It's not working nationally. I mean, it's not just unique to Wisconsin.
We use Dickeyville, right? Dickeyville has people there can go in Potosi, right? Where do they?
They just know. Dickeyville just has a 1 day a week.
Oh, it's 1 day
a
week.
And Potosi has the lunchroom and nobody goes there, so.
Okay, well,
yeah.
How do vouchers work? They take something and it's
worth
X amount.
They've only allowed it in just a couple of counties, and so far they haven't opened it up. So, yeah, I think what, and I don't exactly know, but I think what people do is they have the opportunity to purchase so many vouchers, and then they would have so many participating restaurants. So the restaurants would have to buy into it, too, because they would serve a certain amount of portion. But you know, a lot of the homestyle cafes already serve some of that. You know,
this restaurant thing we've talked about hasn't gone over so well, evidently.
In some cases, yes, but I think there's been a price to it. I think, like, when you look at the one in Madison, my guess is it moved to a nicer restaurant. So now you've maybe got a different category of people that are coming there, but it also moved away from a low-income neighborhood where
prices
are high. Ultimately, to me, you know, we are not supposed to discriminate based on income, but at the same point, OAA is intended to serve those with the greatest economic need. And to me, that's who we should be serving, is the, obviously,
But here in Grant County, for some of these people living out, and, I mean, I know I've done home visits to some of these people out there, and I mean, they couldn't get into a place.
And I asked them for that. I said, is there going to be, because they've been focusing on the congregate sites, I said, is there going to be some grant money available to revitalize our home delivered? Because I think we could expand our home delivered with additional monies, but without it. And they haven't really focused on the home delivered. And yet I think there's probably more people living at home that need...
In the rural areas.
In the rural area.
Definitely.
So, I think they're working on it. I do. But like I said, it's a nationwide issue. It's not just, I think it really needs to start at the federal level and say, make some changes here. And but feds don't move too fast either. All those anti-poverty programs are kind of still stuck in, they've been slowly revamping some of them to meet the needs of the current, generations, but not very, I just don't think they have it all with the elderly programs. I don't think they're realistic. Given the amount of caregiver money we get in Title III and the amount of caregivers out there, I don't think that's realistic. I don't think the nutrition program's very realistic anymore.
They can't get anything done because they're just choking in their own bureaucracy.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, you need something to make them want to come. Encouragement for entertainment.
Mm-hmm. But even that, Shirley, when you see people, and people come up with new things all the time, but the bottom line is the numbers still continued to decline. I mean, you always have some that will like it, that will go there, that it's, we have a nice turnout in Boscobel, we have a nice turnout in Platteville.
Platteville
has a very good senior center.
Yeah.
But if you look at the town, you look at the size of Platteville, you could have a lot more.
Yeah.
So if you look at the number of low-income families in the area around Boscobel and probably the number of low-income elderly, we're probably not serving a lot of them. So, and that's where my concern lies, is those people who are isolated and low-income that maybe aren't accessing us for whatever reason. So I think we definitely have to put some focus on it, and I'm hoping that,
They used to have a number for poverty. What is that number for dollars now?
A family of four, it's probably, I used to be able to recite that from my old job, but it's probably like 24, a little over 24,000, maybe 24,600 now. I don't even know if it's that high. might only be 22. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
That puts a lot of families that don't make that. All over the country.
The majority of families when I left Head Start were working poor. The most of them worked. There was very few that were strictly, you know, what people always think is everybody's just living off of welfare. But, you know, I always tell people welfare went out a long time ago with Tommy Thompson. Welfare is gone.
We have corporate welfare.
But, yeah, we have a lot of that. But, yeah, we had almost all the families that still were under 100% of the poverty guidelines. We're working.
I saw a statistic the other day, and I can't remember what it was. A CEO who doesn't want to give their people any more than what the minimum wage is, $7.25 or something. So they figured out his salary. His salary was $4,937 an hour, but he doesn't want to give more than $7.25 to his employees.
He could give his salary up.
I just, those types of things, when they start seeing those numbers, they kind of...
They get a bonus every year, and that poor guy down there at that $7 an hour don't get nothing.
Yeah, he won't.
When we were on vacation in Oregon, you don't pump your gas in Oregon. They pump your gas for you, and that's a work incentive program. That's what they're the two states in the United States, Oregon and New Jersey.
New Jersey, you do not
You can't pump your own
New
gas.
Jersey.
Do you pay extra for that, or is that in the price of your gas?
No.
What was gas? Do you remember what gas was?
It was higher out there. It was higher, but I just thought that was interesting when I asked about that.
That was the old way, right? Everybody, you never pumped your own gas.
But it was an economic thing for the state. So it was interesting, I thought.
All right, anything else there from the meeting? We'll go on to the Elderfest.
Elderfest is October 30th, 9 to 12:30. So if you were in the area, stop by. We are up to about 34 vendors. We typically get a little over 40, but we typically have to, you know, the last few. We always used to have to send them a couple notices. A
couple reminders?
Yeah, they forget.
That's Halloween, isn't it?
It's the day before. 31st is... They can get their candy on the
30th. They can get their candy.
Yes.
Remind me to bring a bigger bag.
That's right.
Well, they usually give you a bag when you go in the door.
You do. You'll get a bag from us. Yeah.
What are you giving away this year?
Well, I'm not for sure. Kleenexes, I think, and maybe some little spatula spoon things. I don't know for yet. We were going to give away these hot and cold ice packets. You can heat them up in the microwave. But then we started looking at the directions, and the directions on the back of them are in really small print, and they actually say...
Blow them up in the microwave?
They don't, I'm afraid that's going to happen. I'm afraid there were some specific instructions that none of us would have thought to even look at, so we've decided not to give those out.
Don't you hate it when you got something you have to stoop long enough to read it?
Yes! But you know, it's like the hot coffee at McDonald's. You can't, if you give anything to anybody anymore, you better make sure they can't screw it up and hurt themselves with it.
You got to drag out the magnifying glass to be able to read the directions.
Well, I couldn't, and it says something like you can only do it at medium power. Well, I'd have put it in at high, and then you have to let it sit, and I wouldn't have. I'd have just... So we've changed our... We have a whole bunch of those, but I'm going to basically tell people they're cold packs and not hot packs. And
well, ice sometimes is better than the heat, so...
Yeah. Because they're lovely, but I just don't
How
want
How many do you usually
themselves.
Get out for that?
We have usually close to 400 participants in the past. We've had some years over 400. So... It is and we're having Whitney Thompson, dementia care specialist, is doing a workshop on dementia communication, things like that. So she will be there as well, and we will have door prizes. So yeah, we've got a good group.
Well, it's always well attended.
It is.
When you think we don't have seniors.
It's a grab and go.
They're well attended. It's well attended.
Open up that day, and everybody and his brother is there.
Exactly.
And we will have lunch. So we will have lunch there that day. I think we're having turkey and dressing sandwiches. Patty does a really good job at our lunch. So
Are you?
At least I'm told that. I never actually get lunch anymore, but they always tell me it was good. So.
Are you having the flu shots? Are they going to be given
flu
that
shots yet? Will be there, yes. And we have some other, we have some other screenings as well. I had a really nice call from the pharmacist at Southwest Health Center, the new pharmacy out there, called and wanted to provide some screenings, wanted more information on Elderfest. They will be there. And also wanted to be just of help to the ADRC, which was really nice.
Where is this
to
at?
Get back. The new pharmacist at Southwest Health Center.
Ooh.
In Platteville. So, very nice.
Right, the pharmacy right at the hospital?
Yeah.
They've always had a pharmacy out there.
He must be new.
Well,
probably when they changed it over, then they took the pharmacy.
I don't know, but when we've done that class, we've had to use one from Harding's.
And he wants to be involved in any of our prevention classes because he did them in another county.
Oh, wow.
So he was more than interested.
Yeah, you
so
used Nan from
said,
there. But
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, and speaking of which, I should mention Harding Drug did, I think I mentioned that they donated. It's in the News and Views. Hartig in Fenimore, Platteville, and Lancaster donated a bunch of equipment to our loan closet, canes and bath aids and different
Oh, wow.
things. Some of it we thought was not stuff we could loan out. We gave it to the health department to loan out, but other things.
Need
well,
some
not
instruction
a lot of nice
before
bath
they
aids
use it,
that
maybe.
We can use, yeah.
Now,
some
you
of
charge
it we,
for that again?
No. No.
You have no charge at all?
No.
Because the loan closet has a minimal charge, right? But you have none.
But we don't, right? Right. The health department has the minimal charge. We don't. And some of the stuff that we will loan out, we will just, it'll be a permanent loan because we're not going to get it back.
You don't want it back.
No.
After it's been
okay. I don't.
Okay. All right. Anything else there in Elderfest?
That should do it.
All right. On to number 7, the budget.
I did not send this out last in your packet because... We didn't know where we were going to be with the budget, given the Cassville power plant. We didn't know whether the wage increase was going to be left in or not. So the department heads did meet yesterday to go over the budget. And we do have a proposed budget that will be going forth to the executive committee. So I think we are okay with this one to review. So if you look, it's the 2016, the 1.5%, I got it highlighted up here, is the 2016 budget. Like I said, there was some concern whether we were going to leave the wage increase. I've done a budget without the wage increase. The health insurance has changed a couple of times. This is with the new health insurance. The executive committee did approve a change to our health insurance. The health insurance will have higher deductibles instead of, I think it was $2,000 and $5,000. The deductibles will go to $5,000 and
$10,000.
Yep. However, the premiums will go down, so it will actually save the county quite a bit of money, and the county is going to use some of that savings then to cover the cost of those deductibles for employees. So employees won't see a difference in their deductible.
Is dental offered at all?
It is only on a voluntary. Okay. It's not paid for by the county at all.
Is this 37.42% available? Is that pretty much online at this time of the year?
Where are you at?
At the budget, ADRC budget at the very bottom.
At the bottom here?
Yeah, it says money available, 37.42%. Is that pretty much online?
Yeah, yeah. And this one, if you look at this, isn't old. Are you on the finance or the budget sheet?
Yes.
Okay, because this one, if you look at the percent remaining on here was based in May when Nancy sent these out. So
okay.
So that's pretty old. We are pretty much on target.
5/12.
Okay. Yeah.
5/12.
Yeah.
We've got some things that we've still got some unknowns because of transportation changes that we've made. So I've worked pretty closely with Nancy. She has looked at the budget, you know, to think that it's in line, and she went through some various line items with me, and we adjusted them based on what we think, because we are obviously allocating wages a lot different next year than we have been in this year, because we're actually expensing them out the way I feel they should be expensed
out.
So
how much is in the insurance going up?
The insurance actually isn't. I mean, it'll actually, there's a decrease. The county will actually save money
Doing the deductible the way they did it, we kind of held that premium at the same price.
By raising a higher deductible?
Yes. But the county picked up the higher deductible.
The county's picking up the higher deductible. They're
the employees.
So there's a risk to the county, but given the fact that they've looked at their, you know, past years' claims and stuff, they assume that they can assume that risk.
So how much do you pick up on the higher deductible? Now the $5,000.
The employees will, as far as the employees will know, they still have the $2,000 and the $5,000 deductible. Basically, that's all they'll see. So they will be picking up the $3,000 and the $5,000.
Oh, I see. The
company will.
The employees will see no difference in their deductible.
Right. They'll actually see a slight decrease in their premium.
By doing what they did, then we got a cut in the premium.
Now, what do you go through for these? They have a choice of.
We have
Dean
medical,
and medical associates.
Right.
Dean and medical associates.
Now, does the county have, for employees, those that don't want the county insurance can go with, say, their spouse's insurance somewhere else?
They can, but there's no payout. Right.
Right. Yeah. We do the same thing.
Back.
There's no payout. It's just if they decide they don't want to be on the city insurance or go with their spouse, they can do that.
Yeah. Okay. There was some suggestions made on the insurance, because there is a handful of retirees who've retired before age 65 that this would affect as well, that kept their retirement. An employee who retires from the county can opt to stay in the insurance, but they have to pay the full amount of the premium.
How long do they get to stay in? Forever?
As long as they have to pay it. It's at their expense.
So they don't have to go out and get a different policy?
Not necessarily.
They might get a better deal on it.
They probably would get a better deal.
So with this one now, what department heads met, because originally there was a different proposal on the table at executive committee, but yesterday department heads met, and at least the consensus of the department heads was to leave the system alone, to let county employees who retire to still have that option, but they will pay the premium that the county has to pay, the full cost of the premium, and have the higher deductibles of the $5,000 and $10,000. So that will go to exec board. That is not passed yet.
But it still might be cheaper if they went out on their own.
Right.
You know, because
or they may find the marketplace more.
Mm-hmm. See, county board members are allowed to get county insurance, but they got to pay the full premium anyway.
Yeah, right.
At one time, they were considered a county employee.
Yeah, I remember those days.
There's only two that.
And they paid it entirely.
Yeah.
They said, now they do, but before they was on the same program as what county employees was.
Okay.
So they paid the percentage of it, and the county paid the rest of it. Well, when they downsized to 17, they lost that. So you can stay on county insurance, but you're going to pay the full premium, and you will pay now the high deductible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, for those who were complaining about that, that seemed to, I would think that would settle.
Well, at that time, there were some that had existing conditions, and they just wasn't going to get insurance, so they could stay on the county.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But pay the full.
But now
they're on the board until they were 100.
But now. Has changed where they can't, with the marketplace, they can't deny you. But
Mark, Mike, that means you're on there until you're 100. Did you hear that?
No, I don't have any.
Was there ever much feedback on the places that we quit transportation?
No, we haven't had to. You know, we had the one, and we did make the change to picking up at the. That was the only complaint, really, that we had. I think there's probably, I'm sure there's a care center in Lancaster here that probably isn't very happy, but because we did, really start to limit their excursions on a weekly basis. But no, I haven't heard any, other than individual public, no, we only had the one. So I think it's starting to iron itself all out. But when we did this, because we have made changes, and because of the way budgets had been done in the past a little differently. I had talked with Nancy. It's hard to know what our transportation expenses are really going to look like because we've changed things. So we, like I said, Nancy and I did kind of go over and rationale, you know, made some rationales for why I expensed the way I did. And she thought that made sense, and she had me adjust in a few areas that she thought either looked low or high. So I think, you know, I think we're in line. We'll have a much easier time, or I'll have a much easier time, I think, next year. Because I'll have, I think, the budget more in line as to how I felt it should have been
so
for the last couple years.
So you like this thing?
So it's getting better. I think the nice thing is I think I'll have better numbers to look at next year because they'll be truer. They'll be expensed out correctly. Wages will be allocated correctly. We didn't have some of that. We had some differences in opinions as to how some of that went in the past. And I tried to do that again last year a little bit too, but there again, when you're using numbers that weren't quite accurate to begin with, it's you kind of pass that along. So yeah, Nancy has looked at this a lot. I mean, she has just been, and for those of you who aren't familiar with Nancy, she is the finance director for the county. She's very, very good, very, very sharp, and really knows her stuff. And she has spent a lot of time over here helping me kind of clean everything up and get it where it should be. So if you really look at it, when you look at what the 2015 budget was, $442,000, and our current request is at I'm looking at my ADRC, 1,722,000, and our current request is at 1,724,000. We haven't really increased a great deal. The reason why there's a little more net cost, it looks like, to the county, but what we'll do is we'll put in carryover. We've got enough carryover money that I think we can assume that cost without any additional expense to the county. So the county isn't going to see an increase to the levy cost there, which is usually what the county wants to see, right, Lester? Mike? So, yeah, I don't think we'll have any problems with that. We will be spending out the Eckstein Foundation this year. So I may ask them, given the Cassville situation, I thought it might be a good timing to see if they might be willing to sponsor the Cassville meal site. Because we are going to see, I think the writing is on the wall with the Cassville situation and what that's going to do for the county, that we're going to be looking to probably cut back in the future is my guess.
Yeah.
If we can get some of that funding, our nutrition program obviously is the biggest receipt of county levy. So if we can loosen that up a little bit, that would be nice. And I think, like I said, I spoke with Doreen and she thought that maybe was doable, so we'll pursue that. But the revenues, I probably estimated, in some cases, I probably estimated a little low just to be on the safe side because we have seen a little bit difference in revenues for nutrition. So you've got your revenue budget first and then you've got your expense budget. And like I said, I think I was conservative on probably revenue, and we may do better than I think. But I'd rather be conservative and be okay in the end than...
Well, and you always, if I understand that right, you always spend like the federal dollars and what else first.
Yes.
Before you...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are a few programs that require a match. But we usually have no problem with making that match, and you'll see that when I show you the GWAR allocations. But the transportation program requires a 20% match for the county in order for us to even get the money. But yeah, we do. We tend to.
So what's the sequence? This will go to the complete board?
This has been, so what usually happens is we start this process, and this is, like I said, we did it with the 1.5 and we did it with new health insurance numbers and then the numbers changed and so we redid it. And then before vacation, the whole Cassville thing had blown up and it didn't look good. And so I said to Nancy, so should I take the 1.5 out? Because this does have a 1.5 wage increase for staff. And she said, yeah, I'll probably take it out. So I took it out. Then I came back from vacation and they said, well, things have changed a little bit. Leave it back in. So I put it back in. And it was still kind of touch and go, really, until yesterday. We really didn't know where we were sitting. We had about 86,000 defined yesterday when department heads met, and we did come up with it. So
that was somewhere around the figure I heard the other day.
Yeah. So we did come up with a plan as to how they could.
86,000 to 89,000 somewhere was in the figure that they were looking at.
So that plan will go to the executive committee.
To find a cut.
Yeah.
We were short. We needed that to be deducted.
Yeah. So that's when department heads get together and negotiate.
Where do we find it?
Yeah, that was that.
And we did. We actually had.
We found a lot of it carryover.
Yeah.
In different departments, we found a lot of it carryover. If I'm not mistaken, Mike, you stood on that committee.
Yeah.
So this will go back to the executive committee, and the executive committee will look at each individual department budget as well. I mean, the whole budget as a whole, too, in the whole context. But they also look at each one.
Well, county board won't get it until October. They
right.
Won't meet this month.
God told me. You can't be taking a month off.
It's county board vacation time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm breaking.
This is our year. 1 month break we get.
Not the federal board, get 3 or 4 months.
The federal.
So as far as I know, I don't think there's going to be too much changes for it at this point, because we did find the 86 and we found it with leaving the 1.5% in. And I think the consensus was probably now to leave that in, because probably it's not going to be in the future. I mean, I think they'll, you know, if this Cassville thing plays out the way it is, it's going to cost the county some
bucks.
Money. Or they're going to lose money, I guess, is the better way.
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you hear Keevan talk down there, their mayor or whatever, you know, he said if they can't find some way to get some help in there, could the town file bankruptcy?
Not a good idea.
And, you know, that's certainly, yeah.
Maybe somebody can buy the town. I don't know. I think, you know, like I said, Bob isn't here today because he's in Madison. I think he said Senate hearing, but I don't know if it was Senate or Assembly. But they were hoping to make those changes in that bill that was out there that was specifically for nuclear plants to open it up to this one. So I don't know how that'll all play out.
Well, they kind of say they're going to put it through the rush, and hopefully it could be voted on by next month. That's what I heard on the news just coming. Give some help, because what apparently half of their city, Castle City budget comes, they get from the power plants.
A little more than half. I've seen the figures too, but
That would not be good.
So, any questions on this one? I mean, obviously, our biggest programs are our nutrition programs.
Do we need to pass this budget?
Yes. Yeah. If there's changes to it. You know, I will bring them back, but I don't foresee their will, given the fact that the department heads basically,
This is just a preliminary, we vote on it.
Yeah. Usually, if we can figure it out and it goes to the board and...
So do we actually vote on it, or do we vote on a recommendation
this? Well, you're voting on it, but ultimately it's the... Ultimately, it goes to the board.
So we recommend it.
We're going to recommend this to the executive committee that we approve this budget.
Okay, all right.
Basically, that sounded like a motion.
Does that sound like a motion?
It is a motion.
Do I have a second?
1.5, I think, was our figure that we...
Mike says it. Do I have any more comments on the 2016 budget?
That wasn't fair.
All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It worked, though, didn't
opposed?
It?
Opposed? Okay. All right, number 8, GWAR.
The GWAR, I just wanted to give you this, because I don't know if you've ever seen these in the past. So, obviously, the county budget is the one that you just recommended. But within that county budget is the money that we get from the state and the feds. It comes through GWAR. So this is all our Older Americans Act money. So I just gave you the summary page. I didn't give you the whole thing that we submit to the state. And if you look at the top, it says you have errors. Please correct before submitting. But that's because I have to ask for waivers on a couple categories where we don't spend the same. So those, I couldn't get the waivers to come off. But So if you look at it, again, this just, our, the federal state budget column, which is the very first column, is the money that we get from GWAR. So total's about 3,000 or 300,000, a little over. The remaining budget balance that you see at the bottom where it says 26,275, that is money that is allocated to Department of Social Services because they run the, I never can remember, we run the National Family Caregiver Program, they run the Alzheimer's Family Care Program. There's talk that those are going to be combined at some point, and so either ours will go up or theirs will come down to one department. So that is why there's a remaining budget there, because we obviously, for whatever reason, Fred doesn't let me spend that money. It goes to them. So if you look, we get, we've got about 51,000 that we get. It's actually called service management for us. That's our service management budget. Then you've got the home delivered meals. Case management, if you look at case management, information and assistance, counseling and training, and respite, is all our family caregiver dollars. Oh, and assisted transportation, that's all our family caregiver dollars. Legal benefit assistance, the $28,000 in there is for our benefits program, the over 60, that would be Marcia. And then the health promotion is for our prevention programs. So then you can see the cash match. And if you look at the math and you wonder why the cash match and the cash match back here don't look the same, it's because we run the specialized program and that's not in here because we don't get anything out of there. So there is a little bit of a difference. Like 25,000 or 28, I can't remember what the exact amount was. So. But these other columns are just some of the information. So some of this is we put in our transportation money. We don't actually get any transportation. We don't use any of our money from GWAR out of transportation. We use all DOT money for that, essentially. But we do write it in here as other because it does match. And then the program income. So basically, the GWAR allocation is that. And sometimes we do see a slight increase in that over the course of the year, but it usually doesn't amount to a great deal of changes. So this has been submitted to GWAR with the aging plan. But again, and it is part of this budget, so you really have
everything
already up. Kind of approved it, but...
We need to approve this.
If you want to. I mean, I guess it would be clean if you approve the allocation. I don't know that it's actually necessary because you've already approved the aging plan and the budget. So.
Somebody want to make a motion to approve this?
I'll make a motion that we approve this.
Shirley makes a motion. I have a second.
I second it. Thanks, Carrie.
Carrie seconds it. Any further discussion on it?
Any questions?
Yep, any questions? It pretty well spells it out, doesn't it?
Yeah, so as you can see, you know, when you look at the congregate, you know, meals and nutrition program, obviously it's our biggest part of the money that we get, and yet it's very, very expensive in terms of the county's putting in a great deal of money into that. So, I mean, for the future, once I can get everything kind of steering well, you know, that's where we really need to be spending some time, I think, is looking at that.
Have we heard anything back from that lady who's supposedly looking at our meals?
I kind of cut her loose a little bit just because I've gotten some information from her, but given the state of the state, I just felt like that wasn't getting what I needed and giving the state's information. She provided me with a lot of good demographic information and really some good usage on where our population things are that I can use, but I just felt, given what's happening in the state, that we were just kind of spinning our wheels with her. I'm not seeing anything that she could do for us anymore that was going to be beneficial.
We don't have the meal site sheet that you usually give us, right?
Oh, I apologize. No, you don't, because Crystal because Crystal took off on Friday.
She
and, and I didn't have time to do it yet.
Okay, because I usually look at that. I do get concerned because out there in the public, I mean, with was out there for some of those people, and then I
yeah, and I will have that for you. Well, you know, I would say no. I mean, I would say we need to revamp. We need to try to get out to more people who are isolated in terms of the home delivered. But you know, if you look at that, that's not where the emphasis is. The emphasis from GWAR is on congregate.
Right.
It's on the revitalization is on congregate. But my feeling is we need to we need to get more home delivered. Now we did help that a little bit, and we have a lot more home delivered. Platteville has seen a huge increase this past year because Southwest quit delivering. They quit doing their home delivered. They used to do some, and they've given that up. So we took on a number of their people, and we are seeing an increase. I think the other thing that helps is we actually became a member of Meals on Wheels, so we can use their logo. Because people always refer to us as Meals on Wheels, but for a while we were never technically Meals on Wheels, so we couldn't use their logo. But now, when people look us up in the phone book, they can actually find Meals on Wheels because we can say that's what we are. And I think that does us better.
What about that group that was supposed to be delivering meals to people's home by the week or month or something? Do we have any more of that going on?
I'm hoping that's what I'm trying to get the state to work with me on. That's where I want the revitalization money is. I would like to try where we do some, well, how I present it to them is kind of like a Schwann's truck for the elderly, except it's not Schwann's, obviously, because we can't afford Schwann's.
Big truck.
But kind of that thing where they could have a menu to choose from. And so, they're not stuck to this, well, here's what I'm getting today because this is on the menu for today. What I would like to see is that they would have a menu and they might say, okay, I want 3 roast beef and 3 chicken and 2 fish or whatever the case may be for frozen meals. And then they could order that ahead of time and then we would deliver it. That's what I'm trying to...
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm trying to get the state to loosen up on and see if they will approve something like that. So...
Is it cheaper for people to come to a meal site having and serve them there, or let's just pretend for a minute that there was no such thing as a senior citizen center where they served meals at all? Everything was totally delivered.
I would guess it's not cheaper because at the meal sites I have to, based on, again, OAA standards, I have to employ a meal site manager there. So
but you take out the transportation cost.
You do. You do, but I think it would be, we've got some meal site managers that cost us more because they've been grandfathered into benefits over the years. So as some of those people retire, the nutrition budget will loosen up. But again, because of how things used to be structured in the county and the benefits used to be available to part-time people, I still have people that are receiving benefits in terms of health insurance, and that puts a drain on the budget as well. I would say it's probably, if you looked at the mileage versus that, it's probably a wash, maybe.
I mean, the food still has to be cooked someplace.
Yeah.
And it still has to be delivered. Somebody has to do it.
Our food costs have gone up a lot this year. We have been noticing really high food costs, and I just was at Orchard Manor's meeting the other day, and Carol had mentioned that they had changed their food providers from Martin Brothers to Reinhardt. So we're going to kind of take a look at that as well, because we've been noticing, Ruth was talking to me the other day that she thought our food costs were running a little high. And food, I mean, obviously, if you go to the grocery store, they're high.
Who does ours now?
We have Martin Brothers does do some of ours.
Okay.
So we might be taking a look at that a little bit more to see if maybe we can get a better deal. She was going to talk to Patty, our cook. The only place that we utilize that is in Bosqueville because that's our on-site kitchen, you know. Otherwise...
Martin's comes out of where?
I don't know where Martin Brothers comes out of. But typically there's Martin Brothers, Reinhardt, and Cisco. Those are the three main ones that come out of here.
Yeah.
So.
And Martin Trucking is out of Tomah.
Is that a Tomah?
Martin Brothers Truck, Martin Trucking is, but that might be something.
So I think Carol had said that they anticipated saving like $9,000 by going to
Reinhardt.
Reinhardt.
Oh.
So I think that's something that we'll be looking at for.
Yeah, my new old budget in the line.
You know,
and they'll come back with a different price.
as we have staff that retire and do things. I mean, my theory is every time we have a staff change, that's a good opportunity to look at what do we need
offering
to do differently. Or yeah, I mean, we've got sites. Quite frankly, we've got a few sites that could be closed, given the fact that. You know, I don't want to do that, and that's my point with Cassville is I feel like I could tell them they are probably in danger of being closed, but given the situation in Cassville, we don't want to close that site. So would they support keeping a meal site manager and that meal site open? And I think Eckstein's would maybe be willing to do that. Certainly more than just giving us money to
give us
money. But we do have some other ones that we need to look at. And one of the things I didn't say, but it's happening in Guar and ADRC, is this business acumen is the big buzzword. It was the buzzword when I left my previous job. It's coming down from the feds. And I figured it was coming here soon, and it has. And so they're looking at more of the true costing things out. So Guar just did, I wasn't able to attend the one that they did. They're going to offer it again. Figuring out a true meal cost. I think we're fairly close, but figuring out what your true meal costs are. Now, if we do our true meal cost by meal sites, that's going to be rather shocking, I think. I haven't even wanted to look at that by site yet because we've got some that are grandfathered in. Now, I can't do anything about that. The county heads, you know, they decided to do that at the time. So there's not much I can do about those employees that were grandfathered in. But as they retire and we hire new ones, they won't have that. That will save us some money. But yeah, there is looking at that. They are doing a transportation one too, looking at what your transportation costs are per mile.
How many hours does a manager at a meal site put in per day?
It depends. I have in Cassville, Bonnie puts in, depending on how many people she has there, if she doesn't have very many showing up, she only may put in an hour and a half to two and get the home delivered out if she doesn't have anybody coming. On other days, when she's got a full bus route or something like that, she's usually there three. The highest I have is 5.5, and that's at Platteville and Boscoville. And obviously, those are our two biggest meal sites. Because the meal site managers aren't just doing the congregate meal site, they're also getting meals together for home delivered as well.
I just wonder why I understand Platteville, but Boscoville is the same size as Lancaster, but yet
Boscoville has a senior center, though. I mean, the community center is basically has been a senior center, and I think that's part of it. I don't know why. I don't know what the split was, why the senior center here has always been kind of separated from us. I don't know the history or the politics of that. So,
well, I just wonder now that the library has this beautiful senior room, or meeting room.
We tried, yeah.
And you didn't get anywhere?
Well,
they have a nice kitchen.
I know. And I did meet with them prior to the library being built and really tried to get that going. They didn't really want to commit to that, but I'm hoping that, you know.
Maybe.
I mean, ours is turned in from a senior center. We don't call it that anymore.
Right.
Community center.
Right.
Well, I think that's what they're calling this, is pretty much a community center.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. There's elderly people in there every day
playing
cards and doing this and doing that. It's busy all night.
It is.
Because we've got this other area that you guys use a lot, right?
Yeah.
The senior center?
Near the fire department.
What do they call that room? Community center?
It's a senior room.
It's a senior room.
Does Lancaster have a senior director? See, like, I think the other advantage is Boscoville and Platteville, they both hire. They have people hired to be the senior center manager. So Michelle happens to be our meal site manager, but she's also employed by the city part of the day to be the community center manager.
She does a good job.
So she does. She does a very good job.
Well, maybe that's something Lancaster has to look at.
And I don't know if Lancaster does.
You have to call someone in the department.
Okay.
You don't. We don't have a senior center person.
Yeah, and I think that's where you get some of that, because they have activities that are, you know, Michelle does the senior, it's not called the senior prom anymore, but whatever it is, she does a big ball for that. So she does some activities there that, you know, they've got the advantage of having a paid employee to manage.
Maybe Lancaster has to look at that.
So.
Well, they got a lovely room. They have a beautiful room there. But then they say, well, transportation, getting people there. Transportation comes up.
And they're not wrong. I'm sorry, but that square is... It
a bear.
Makes, it makes for issues.
It's a bear. If you get around the square and haven't customized your car, it's been a good day.
Yeah. It's an issue. I
got to work on that some. You got to worry about whether you're going to have a vehicle there when you come back out.
I think it's, you know, I think that's realistic. I think that square is a nuisance. It's just hard to navigate.
Weren't they talking once about having that traffic right straight instead of
that
straight through? The downtown retailers probably didn't like
that. Not really.
Well,
the state's got their finger in that.
Oh, I suppose.
The
state,
the guy.
The highway department, yeah.
The local businesses had a lot to say about that.
Well, they did, but if they use their head, they'd learned out that they get more parking spaces if they do it the way we'd like to see it done.
Maybe so.
We could go to diagonal parking on two sides of that square.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get about triple the parking spot. Plus, we could get some handicapped parking spots.
Yeah.
Well, with the library move now, I mean, that was a zoo up there trying to get a parking spot when the library was there. And then if you went around to the back, that was full. That parking lot back there.
We would love to see two-lane traffic on two sides of the square.
And even where the senior center meets, like, you know, we've had meetings there. It's not conducive to parking. You still have to park a good block or two away if you're lucky.
Well, they're moving that house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that going to be a parking lot?
That's what they said they're going to make a parking lot.
I know. And
which house?
The other thing is...
The one right behind
the seniors.
No. The one behind City Hall.
Other,
and
the other side.
Uh-huh. Yeah, behind City Hall.
Okay.
Well, they tore one down.
They tore it down. They were supposed to make a parking lot there.
Yeah, because City Hall needs parking really bad there.
The other thing is we did meet with, and I'm at a loss of her name now, Nicole at
Clamp?
Grant Regional.
Nicole Clamp.
I did meet with her this past year as well, because we went and looked at their space for their cafeteria, and obviously it's quite small right now.
I had never
been over there. But given the fact that Grant Regional is going to do something within the next couple of years,
mm-hmm.
one way or another, we know, she was receptive to that fact that we could potentially do something out of their cafeteria.
Because there's a lot of people now that use that.
Yeah, and because thought was is they had, like right now, they have that exercise room that's open.
Exactly, that 12 to 1.
Yeah. But, you know, she just said right now, obviously they don't have the space to do something like that. But, you know, she was not opposed to it. So I'm hoping that down the line, I think that would be a real nice
setup too if you had
exercise and, you know, and that. So I think there are some possibilities. But, again, I would like to, I'd like to see the state loosen up, but I guess that's probably... probably the feds that needs to loosen up first.
All right, so what I'm hearing, we need probably to vote on this, right? Just you have our blessings.
You did vote on the allegations.
So you're thinking we just don't have to?
No, you did. Pink.
Okay, I mean, we don't have to vote on this per se.
I've got that Shirley approved.
Oh,
that
Shirley already did.
Okay, all right, so it's all right.
And somebody seconded.
All right.
And Harry seconded.
So then we did vote on it.
We need to get you a cookie.
We need to
take your blood sugar's falling.
You'll be all right.
I don't know how many times we want to vote.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Pink made the motion. Shirley made the motion.
And we approved
it.
All right. On to number 9.
Okay. Transportation grants are going to be due. The 8521 is, we just got notice of that, and it's due October 15th. 8520, and I'll tell you what, these transportation grants are driving me just up a tree. I have to look about 100 times to figure out what's charged up for 8520, 5311, and what's 8521. But 8521 is our buses. We have not got word on that one yet. But typically we get about $121,000 out of that, and it costs the county, if you look here, we're probably looking at about $24,000, $26,000. There's a 20% match. The other one is our shared ride taxi. So it goes for the taxi costs and also some of the bus costs as well. So if you kind of look at the numbers on the budget allocation, I'm sorry I didn't bring those. But if you look under assisted transportation and transportation, those are essentially the figures that we get, the $121,000, and then the match is the $26,000, and then we do match the shared ride taxi a little bit, but not a lot, because we get revenue out of that. So the one grant does require a 20% match. The county board has never had an issue with it, to my knowledge. They may in the future if money becomes tight. But it does, what we typically do is we pass a resolution, or we recommend the resolution be passed. I don't know how resolutions work. You guys know probably better than I do. But typically we've had a resolution that you guys sign, and then it goes to the full county board for approval.
I think.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at about 100. It's, if you look at the 106,679 and the 15,289, I believe that one goes with the 8521, and then the 8520 is the 25,690 that we typically get back out of that one.
So we need to vote on them separately, though.
Yes, if you would.
And that,
they are two
and
resolutions.
That separately, that's recommended to go to the county board.
It does go to the county board. It has to go to the county board for full approval, because it is a grant.
I'll make the motion that 85.21, that grant goes, recommendation to go before the county board.
I'll second it.
And Shirley seconds it. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, the 8520 resolution?
It's the same. It is the same deal. We haven't seen.
Do the same.
Thanks, Steve.
Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Early seconds. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion passed.
And just to let you know, I have a phone conference set up with DOT for Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate it to go well, but at least I have one. Everybody,
I make a motion to give you, wish you good luck.
This has been like 3 months that I've been trying to get answers out of the DOT, so I actually
good
haven't
luck.
Committed to a
lock,
phone conference.
Lock.
Yeah.
Well, at least I got him on the phone.
That's the bigger.
There was a,
honestly, just trying to get them to respond is a feat in and of itself sometimes.
Why are they that busy?
So. No, they just don't. They just don't return
it's just,
your call.
It's just a bureaucratic system.
And they've got a lot of turnover, so they really do have staff that are just. So you ask them something, and then I think they don't get back to you because they don't know the answer. Uh-huh. So they're looking to find the answer.
You know, though, this seems like it's every place. I went over to get my tickets at Platteville for the show thing, and the little young man sitting there was helping kids get parking tickets now and stuff like that. And I said, well, I want to pay for the season ticket. Well, I've never done that before. So he tries to figure it out. He goes in and gets the head guy. And the guy comes out and says, well, we switched over to a whole new program. And they mess around for about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden he says to the kid, he said, you know, I think we're kind of looking like we don't know what we're doing. You know, and finally, I mean, I ended up leaving, and they ended up calling me. You've got two people trying to do this, and they have no idea what to do.
Did you already figure that out after you stood there?
Oh.
Welcome to the real world.
But I'm afraid it's in so many places.
Yeah.
So
well,
many places.
Well, and it wouldn't, you know. It probably wouldn't be such a problem, but these grants are kind of convoluted, and they sort of all intermix together. So it's real hard for an outsider who comes in to look at them to kind of keep separating out. So what you didn't see on the budget, what I usually do is I color code everything. You know, what's 8521, what's 8520. I took it out for your sake today, but because I'm trying to keep it all straight. So, and then when I, like I said, I try to get clarification. They don't know. And then I ask other directors in other counties, and they're like, oh, I don't even worry about that. Or I don't even send that in.
No wonder they don't know if it didn't get sent in.
We just had one. I just sent a report in last month that when I read the instructions, well, I knew what had been sent in the past, and I talked to somebody who told me what to send in, but when I read the instructions, it said to send in backup information regarding our expenses. But they didn't tell me that I needed to, and we have never that I could see. So I asked if I did, no, and that was fine, and they've taken it. Well, now I get an email this week that says for the third quarter, they have been audited, and now they have been found that the information that has been provided to them has been insufficient, and they need more backup information, which I thought, well, it was in your instructions to begin with, and you weren't requiring it, so now they are, so...
All right, so on to number 11, finance report.
Nothing too unusual here. I think now the food ban has issues, so I think now we have gone full circle with every vehicle in that we own has had issues this year. But other than that, I don't think we've had anything out of the ordinary. I think we will.
Anybody have any questions?
Nancy is going to come over. We do have to reallocate a little bit differently for Mariah. She's taking transportation over. So we'll be charging things out a little bit differently. But other than that, I don't think we're sitting badly.
So the transportation, she's really just part-time?
She is doing the transportation right now part-time.
50%? 50%?
And we'll see how that goes. She has done a really good job of... We are, I think, entirely caught up with the first and second quarter billing, which we... had a lot of issues with, and that took a lot, and she's done very well on that, so you actually should see, starting to see, if you look at the transportation revenue, you'll start seeing some of that come back in, because that has been obviously low for a while, so we'll see that increasing, like if you look in trips, you should start to see trips revenue this past month was $8,000, so we're starting to recoup that now again and getting some of those bigger checks back from Continuous. So that's good. Yeah, well, you know, what I'm going to do right now is we're doing it part-time and we'll take a look at it. If we think it needs to be more...
With this trip, so are you saying some of that was just not billed?
I'm saying there were lots of billing issues, yes. Yes, I am.
Hell yeah, that could make a problem.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on this? Anything more you want to tell us?
No, like I said, you should see, we're sitting year to date a lot better off than we were. As it looks like, you know, our trips revenue is still off a little bit, but like I said, we're still getting payments. I think we got about two or three this week. So, I'm hoping to see that come up. But there again, as we've made some changes, we don't really know what our revenue is going to look like. So, but I think now that we have good systems in place, she's got databases set up and everything so that we know who's been billed correctly and when. And mm-hmm.
When it comes in?
And I'm not saying those weren't set up in the past. There was some. They just weren't...
utilized maybe.
Very good. So,
anybody have any questions on the finance report? We do need to accept it.
Yes.
Right? If you're done, somebody want to make a motion to accept it?
I make the motion.
Carrie makes a motion to accept the finance report. I'll second. There's a second over there. Any further questions on it? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right, pass.
Vouchers. Again, I don't think there's any, I did not see anything really significant. Our food costs, obviously, are higher expenses than these.
You still have plenty of drivers, so forth, so on?
Yeah, we could use some more drivers. We're constantly looking. I think we might have to to actually bring on another sub bus driver. So Lester, if you know of anybody that might, if you know of anybody with CDLs that might be interested. And we could use some more volunteer drivers as well, but I mean, we're making do right now. We had one of our dialysis patients is no longer on, so that has eased the burden a little bit of some of our volunteer drivers. It's the dialysis patients, you know, which are it's essentially needed, but they're the ones that really take up a lot of our volunteer driver time. So at the $5,000 payment to Orchard Manor, if you see that's one of the higher ones too, we're paying that quarterly now instead of all at once in the beginning of the year. Because that works better with our ADRC and how we get money back from the state. So we do that on a quarterly. Other than that, it's just mostly business as usual.
Anybody have any questions?
I make a motion to accept the voucher.
You make a motion to accept the voucher. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Gary seconds. Any further discussion?
Aye.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
I apologize. I have director's reports, and apparently my program report didn't print out, so I will get the program report to you. We're still trying to fine-tune the program reports, but I'll give you that before you leave. There was nothing, no great surprises on there either. So I'll run down and print that out. I thought it printed when I printed out my director's report. See, I don't have Crystal to do all my printing for me. So I'm going to pass around these resolutions, too, so I don't forget to have those
signed.
Now,
there's two separate ones
to
sign.
There are two separate, yeah.
Okay.
So obviously the director's report budgets have been the big thing, which has obviously taken up most of my time. Other than that, we do have Sarah Miles. I hope you all stopped and met Sarah today. She's at our front desk. She's doing a wonderful job. She's caught on very, very quickly.
Thank you.
So she's here from 8 to 1 every day, or 4 days a week, I should say, while Mariah does transportation.
Is she from the area?
She's from Fenimore.
From Fenimore.
Mm-hmm. And she's got, she graduated from Southwest Tech recently on their office support specialist. So she's got a lot of experience in Excel and things like that, which will be really beneficial to me.
She's going to teach classes, is she?
She's catching on. Great. So I'm very happy. We're going to have her take on some things while Crystal is gone. Crystal won't be back till probably just before the holidays. She'll come back and try to finish up some of our end-of-year stuff. So we do not have an LTE for Crystal right now. So I am taking on some of that, which I have, after today, will probably think is absolutely crazy. But by the time you get an LTE in and trained, it takes us almost as much time as it does to do it yourself really quick. So hopefully I can manage payroll and vouchers and do some of that. Crystal's going to take on a few things, and I'll have Sarah do a few things too, and we'll hopefully get by for the next 3 months. One thing I do want to point out, I just very briefly put in here, we received a draft contract of the ADRC contract at our state meeting the other day. It is much more detailed than past contracts. Now, that contract will actually probably get discussed at your regional meeting, because it's a regional, it's not just ours, it's the region. Very detailed in terms of facilities, which makes me a little bit nervous if they won't do it. It's specifying that bathrooms need to be accessible, specifying signage, which signage we need to change anyway. However, one of the things in there is the state approving facilities before you move into them if you move or build or change. That's not been in there in the past. Which,
do you have any transgender things that have to come out?
Don't think so, but that is an issue. You never know.
Exactly. When I see it coming up in our schools, you know, with the younger students.
The bathrooms here could be an issue because they are not handicap accessible very well. There's just a lot more focus on outcomes, a lot more focus on business acumen. There are some things in there that the state is, there is no way that they can do. One of the things that they put in there was they wanted to approve all marketing materials that carried the ADRC logo on it. They don't have enough staff in Madison to look at all the marketing materials all these county agencies provide. There's just absolutely no way they can do that. So some of the things in there are like, have you really thought this through? Do you understand what this is going to entail? But they're definitely putting more of a stamp on it. Going to be a lot more focus on outcomes about one of the things that they wanted us to do, which I thought was a little bit, what was it now? I can't remember. Wanted us to survey customers and then to see if our hours were correct. Wanted us to survey consumers. Well, first of all, how are you going to do that? I think you could probably survey 10 seniors and all 10 of them would say, no, I'd like you to be open earlier in the morning or later at night, or, you know, I mean, you're never going to please everybody with your hours, and we already have the option of doing after hours appointments if needed. So some of the stuff was just a lot of busy work for directors that it's like, you've got to be kidding me.
I use the term purely academic.
Yeah. So where it sits right now with this draft plan, Karen Mulkey, who's the head of the Bureau, did make a point, though, that said, you know, she was getting a little frustrated because you have a room full of directors and a contract like that, there's going to be, you know, an hour and a half in, we were on page 3. And she stood up and finally said, you know, these are things that are coming down to me. And now we're presenting it to you. So, you know, she...
It has to be.
Yeah. But there was a 3-week comment period, which is not really probably long enough to get through this contract. So the regional directors... basically are getting together to go through the contract as a group, which I think will be very beneficial. So they're going to get together as a group and then submit comments to the state. So I think Mary Mezer will probably talk to you a little more about that next week. So, but yeah, a much more accountability, but again, nothing that we haven't seen coming. So they want to say how much savings to Medicaid there is, you know, how many people we're keeping out of the nursing homes and what the savings are, which I have no problem with. We should be able to do that. So, but the facilities, it concerns me a little, because if it stays the way it's worded, they could come in and say this facility doesn't meet the contract requirements.
Speaking of facilities, you know, with the county board members here, we talked about that one last year. And on the long term, we obviously understand that something has to be done. Is there any long term plans that the county's got on doing anything at all?
Yep, we're working on it.
Okay,
we're discussing about that one.
Okay. Okay.
The administrator is going to be meeting here not long, sometime this month. I just meeting notice, and that's one of the major topics. Been a major topic.
And that may have something to do with you as far as, yeah, let's not do a whole bunch of stuff here we don't have to.
Right. Right, and I have, they have had a firm that has been meeting with all the departments essentially in terms of facility issues and needs and wants. And my guess is that they're going to formulate kind of a strategic plan or something like that as far as looking at facility.
Trying to upgrade to be more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. So
every time we talked about doing this, the state comes down regionalizing things, so then we back off because we're not going to build a whole new building and house about four of our departments and then have an empty building.
Yeah, and you know, who knows what could happen with the ADRC side of this as well.
That
it's already
kind of hangs us out to dry on what we're still in the works.
So you can be prepared.
So that we can really set up and be prepared.
Just when this goes down, you want to bow your head for 2 seconds. That's it. That's gone.
Well, I tell you what, the last figure I had in replacing this building was $11 million.
Yeah.
$11,800,000. Yeah. But that was completely destruction of this building.
And building.
And turning this into a parking lot.
Yeah.
And that included everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have heat this winter here because they got my heat working now for me. So, well, we think I'm going to have heat.
So you have heat in the summer or the winter?
Possible. I haven't had heat since I came on board.
That was horrible. That figure went up about
You bet it has.
What four departments would they be combining?
Well, I think we're looking at ADRC, Social Services, Unified, and we probably
do that in cities. Get it bid out.
Health Department.
Health Department, because they all kind of
people use
cater to the same, or for the same reasons.
People involved.
My concern is this contract is for 2016, so I'm hoping that the state, depending on how the actual contract comes out, they're going to have to either provide some waiver opportunity, or give you a timeline to meet some of these standards.
Well, you aren't building a building like that overnight.
You can't just come in and say your building doesn't meet the contract requirements. Find a different one.
We've even thought about restructuring the admin building. We have that wonderful third floor with nothing in it. But parking is the big issue when it comes to our admin building. See, we got the health department there. We were taking the county boardroom out of that segment part there and the third floor, and then we were going to move Unified and Social Services and ADRC into that building. But the parking problem and handicap.
I thought they kept saying the parking was okay, but I could never see how that would be.
No. Well, if they took the house down, that's going to be a parking lot.
Well, they can't put more than 8 cars in there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You mean by the senior building?
It's too far.
Yeah, but that's too far for the handicap.
No.
That's right.
Well, what about back of by Les Mack there where he has all
the same distance. I mean, you look at that. You're not going to find somebody in a wheelchair that's going to push somebody all the way over to the admin building from there. City of Lancaster will not give us any more handicap parking. Furthermore, somebody that works at the admin building already takes up one of our handicap parking lots.
And the point is regardless of disabilities,
the
square is hard to navigate, period.
That's not the place to.
No. I don't know.
It's just something to think about,
It is.
Well, and the other thing is, I'm a strong proponent of the county not building any more buildings than absolutely have.
Right, yeah.
Private sector, that way if something happens, whatever, let the private sector deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make you aware of the contract requirements as far as the facility, because it couldn't happen.
Well, we read the one, and this one here, we only
read private people do that all the time.
Just
simple. So if you're building new, are you wanting to build out what you're doing?
Well, that was the original thing when we're talking about. Build a new building was going to be built right out here. This building would stay functional until the new building was.
The only way to
build it. We wouldn't
tear it down.
And that was about 4 years ago.
And was it that price at that time?
Yes, ma'am.
Huh? Really?
$11 million at that time?
$11.8 million.
Lots more than that now.
We're gonna add another $2 million to that.
Yeah, easily.
I bet you could.
Yeah.
I bet.
And I scared. That was a lot of bucks.
Yeah.
So we better get paid for what we got new now.
Well, I give you an example right out there in the township: the $900,000 bridge. When they started the project. By the time they got it built, it was well over $1 million. And that's because of the cricket frog.
Yeah, there's so much bureaucracy. Anything we do,
delayed it for 2 years.
That the one out by Elmboro?
That was out in Harrison Township.
Yeah, they got to hire, and we do too, if we're working near a stream, you got to have somebody out there ahead of the equipment. Having a little net to catch butterflies in the office, but they got to go out and look for cricket frogs.
They got to chase the cricket frogs.
And I got a whole.
Well, it cost me $600 for a cricket frog pond when I rip right off the river.
Sure.
And I forget how much extra this Ellenborough Bridge costs.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
The one on Lurpot over there on Maple Ridge Road went from 900,000 to over a million.
And if you ask them where the cricket frogs are, they say, well, we're
how
not
big
quite
they are?
Sure.
What size do you want to
And in the last 20 years...
Those are the things I see all over the highway when I'm driving down in the rain?
No.
No?
I don't know. In boggy areas.
Where we've inherited the cricket frog was is they got overpopulated in Illinois. And they're very common in Illinois. And just like Mother Nature, they moved to a new territory. And unfortunately, they moved to Wisconsin.
As the climate has warmed up in the last 20 years, they've moved north. A lot of our invasive species that wouldn't grow north of 18 is clear up in Clark County now.
Right. So they're not in
no
danger.
Climate
you go 100 miles south and you're there and they're just thick.
Right, Mike?
All right, anything else?
Anyway,
yeah, anything else going on here? Anything else to come before us? Other than the regional meeting, we'll be here next.
Regional meeting will be here. You
next
do know
Thursday.
That?
Yeah, but I'm not.
Mike won't be.
You don't make the one in Lancaster. You went to Monroe, for God's sake.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, but on the way down, we just solved all the world problems. So.
There you go. Yeah, it will be here. It will be upstairs. So for those of you, remember that the second floor is now locked, so you can't get up to the second floor of social services. You will need to take the elevator.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, it is.
It is. When did that happen?
A couple months ago, a few months ago.
Because of an incident, or?
No. I wasn't exactly notified about it myself, other than the fact after they did it. So.
Are you ready for a motion?
Yes, we are.
I make a motion to meeting adjourned.
Shirley made a motion to adjourn. Sure. Second. Lester. All in favor. Out of here. See you next week on the next month on the 21st.